So let's start with the internet blackout that we are currently experiencing. The interruption in internet connectivity continues to bite hard as some universities begin cancelling online sessions, such as lectures and assessment. For 5 days, internet service providers have been struggling to fully restore services when undersea fiber optic cables were disrupted. The NCA indicates telecommunication engineers are working to restore the damaged cables, but until then, institutions heavily reliant on the internet are losing out. Some schools have cancelled online studies and other activities. Now, let's share with you some of the statement that some of these schools have shared with us here in terms of what's happening. But we understand that some of these universities have been forced to cancel online lectures and interim assessment that were based or that were hosted online because of the difficulty that we're experiencing in internet services. But again, one other place that this internet blackout is biting hard is at the port. Now, at the port, importers are lamenting their difficulties in clearing their goods. My colleague, Carlos Caloni, has been there and has been interacting with some of these people and joins me in studio with some more details. Carlos, so you've spent the most part of the day at the port, so trying to understand how this blackout is impacting their work. What have you found?
So a lot of things. One, the freight forwarders are unable to process their documents. They run on a paperless system since 2018. And so before you do a clearance, you need to go onto the platform and queue in everything and clear. But because of the internet issue, they're unable to do that. Apart from that, those who have to go to the bank to make payments are not able to also go to the bank. Now, there are some also who have actually gone through that stage, which means now the containers or the cargo is ready for them to take out of the port.
Okay.
That also is done on a system, and they are able to access the system. So the point here is that the longer the cargo stays in the port, as an importer,
you pay something they call the demurrage.
So
it means that as long as the containers are there, that demurrage is going up.
It's going up. Apart from the demurrage, there's rent. And there's also storage. So these are three critical things that the freight forwarders are actually worried about, especially the fact that they're told that this is going to linger on for some 5 weeks. The thing that the Ghana Shippers Authority, which is actually the regulator, should come in and also push for the lines, which is the shipping lines, to waive off these extra costs that they are going to be experiencing. And so I spoke to a number of the industry players who have actually been expressing this concern. So we can take a look at what they've been saying.
All right.
The fact of the matter is that it is very severe. It really affected the port operations because we are using the internet to do 99.1% of our job. Without the internet services, we cannot enter BUE. That's the first process to initiate towards clearing of cargo. If you had also gone ahead to do the BOE, you will not be able to have the BOE going through classification violations and come out with a tax bill for you to go and pay.
Customs officer could not work because the system went down. Those who had the privilege that they have already gone through BOE entering, classification, and violation, and the tax bill has come, goes to the bank to pay the duty and start and proceed to clear the cargo at the port, could not pay the duty because the systems were also down in their banking sector. Those who were expecting their containers to come from MPS to outside container terminals like the TBT, and other reefer containers and Golden Jubilee, because the system were not able to work, the MPS could not allocate those containers. They are using the system to allocate the containers wherever they are and send them these outside ICDs. Same thing, it's not only the port alone that was affected. Even in the banking sector, transactions were down. As we speak, not only the maritime alone that was affected, but even those who had also paid or processing to pay for fuel, to load fuel from the fuel depots, were also struck down because of this system. That was the challenge. Now, anybody who is in the port community to clear and had the duties gone through and wanted to clear to avoid demurrage and rent, maybe the container was entering or running into demurrage. Had already gone into demurrage because we could not pay to clear because of the system were jammed, the system was not working. So, of course, the negative impact is that not only an easy way of not getting the cargo to clear from the port, but also we are going to end up paying demurrage, which is not the make of the importer. I want to use this your medium to appeal to the shipping lines and terminal operators, because as soon as you enter demurrage, then you're entering rent as well. So terminal operator will be charging us rent, while shipping line will be charging us demurrages. I want to use this medium to appeal to terminal operators, shipping lines, and agencies that they should look. It's not the make of the importer. The importer is their client. Whoever cargo run into demurrage from Thursday till today as we speak, they should give us a waiver.
Because of our pressures, you know that delays are not tolerated. Every delay has its consequence of extra costs, namely the demurrages, rent, storage, and the rest. And so, since our activities have been disrupted, delays with regards to cargo release and terminal releases, the impact has been great. And things have slowed generally, and that is a lot of cost to our clients, which we are not so happy about, and which we are appealing to the Ghana Shippers Authority to really intervene, begin a conversation with the shipping lines to at least waive off whatever demurrage, and of course with the terminals, for whatever rent or storage that will accrue. Because of course, as we all know, it's not the fault of anybody. It's not the fault of any importer or exporter for the internet issues. And so we appeal to them. By now, we are still hoping for them to at least begin a conversation and come out with some releases for us to know that they've got the back of the Ghanaian trader. And then in terms of the cost, that is really staring at us. I feel they are even late. They should have had the release maybe at least Friday, because the situation quite affected a lot, especially it was bad Thursday and Friday. And delayed occurred, cost had been incurred already. And so at least as soon as possible, they should come out and then tell us what they've done, what they've spoken, how they've spoken with the lines and then the terminals to waive off any demurrage or storage or whatever charge that will accrue as a result of the issues. So they are late. There will be huge implications. Already, you know, the economy that we are in, a lot of things are, expensive. So this will have a huge impact in terms of cost on the items, because at the end of the day, we are all consumers and no trader is Father Christmas. So it will have huge impact. And of course, the charges that accrue, the demurrages and all, they are huge charges. Some of them like $100 a day, and then with an exchange rate of like 13 cedis more. So you can imagine if you have, let's say, 10 containers, and then all of them should go on demurrage even for a day. You can imagine the cost. Aside that, we have other charges like the drivers. For some of the work, the container has to be on the track before you work. And so for the number of days that the container remains on the track, that the track is not able to turn around, it's cost. And so we also have that cost from the driver's side and many other things. So, we pray that something urgent is done about the internet, or even Shippers Authority intervene by speaking with the lines and the terminals to know how they can waive off the charges.
So those were some, stakeholders of the port who are sharing their grievances with us here, on how the internet connectivity is impacting them. Carlos is there. So Carlos, what more have we heard in terms of, the operations at the port?
So we are learning also that the Ghana Link Network Services Limited, they are actually the operators of the ICOMS platform. Mm. They've been giving us some updates on the situation so far in a statement.
And that's the statement I do have here. Let me share that with our viewers. And it says, "Dear value stakeholders, it has come to our attention that some internet service providers, ISPs, have observed improvements in internet connectivity, consequently leading to a noticeable enhancement in assessing the Integrated Customs Management System, ICOMS, operated by Ghana Link Network Services Limited. However, it is imperative to note that while significant progress has been made, not all services, have been fully reinstated to their original optimal state. Our technical team remains diligently vigilant, continuously monitoring the situation. In collaboration with the service providers, our technical team is actively engaged in resolving any lingering issues to restore full operational capacity expediently. Our unwavering commitment is to ensure the stability and reliability of the system, exerting every effort to achieve comprehensive restoration.
Yeah.
Now, he says, our foremost objective is to sustain a seamless and efficient service experience for all users. Rest assured, we will provide timely update on development and promptly notify you upon the complete restoration of services. We deeply appreciate your patience and understanding during this period, and we extend our gratitude for your unwavering trust in Ghana Link Network Services Limited.
Yeah.
Should you require further assistance, please do not hesitate to reach out to our customer support team. So that's coming from Ghana Link.
Yeah, Ghana Link.
But okay, so the plea for them to help in the shipping companies,
yeah,
you know,
wave off
is not to Ghana Link. It is to
the Ghana Shippers Authority.
Let's see what they also come up with. Thank you.
That's what they are looking forward to.
Anyway, thank you, Carlos, for that. Now, let's bring you an update in what the universities have also been writing about. I told you earlier that the universities have cancelled their online lectures and interim assessment. Let's share with you a statement that has been released from the Ghana, the University of Ghana, Legon. It says, now, members of the university community are hereby informed that the nationwide challenges with internet connectivity is affecting connectivity on the various campuses of the university. The University of Ghana Computing Systems, UGCS, is monitoring the situation and is awaiting feedback from the vendors in order to update the community on when full connectivity will be restored. All are requested to make the necessary adjustments so that academic and administrative work is able to continue. So that's the statement from the University of Ghana there. Now, we understand that the Minister for Communications, Ursula Owusu-Ekufo, will be updating Parliament shortly on the improvement or the effort that Ghana is taking to restore the internet connectivity to its full capacity in Ghana. Well, we'll have eyes in Parliament. I will be bringing you that shortly here on The Pulse. Don't go away. Do stay tuned. We'll take a short break. When we come, we have an update on that.
Has begun. Shifting our focus to a new horizon, connecting us with one purpose, to create and share opportunities to grow. Brighter tomorrow, built by our dreams and our energy. Across our continent, across the world, we are creating a better way to a better future. A Pan-African future, together. Ecobank, a better way.
We know the dream is big. We know the passion gets you going. And you have the potential to make great strides. The Chartered Institute of Marketing, Ghana, has always been an avid supporter of industry excellence and innovation. This is why we are excited to announce the CIMG Professional Marketing Qualifications. CIMG has designed practical courses to help you make that dream a reality right here in Ghana. We are geared up and ready to support you on this journey to becoming a world-class professional marketer. Register today and be on your way to greatness. For more information, call us on 055-274-6592
Visit our website www.cimghana.org or email us on info@cimghana.org. Chartered Institute of Marketing Ghana, working for Ghana.
Daddy, this tank is big!
Yes, that's true.
It can store a lot of water.
That's so true.
Wow, it has a working tortoise on it.
Mm-hmm, that's so true.
I can see S-I-N-T-E-S, syntax.
That is so true, my daughter.
When it falls down, it will spoil.
That's not true.
But why?
Hey! Syntex was the first to introduce double-layer tanks in Ghana. Syntex again was the first to introduce white inner layers in Ghana. Syntex gives you the biggest warranty, 7 years. No matter your water needs, Syntex is the answer. Syntex tank. Are you strong? Are you tough?
You're welcome to the maiden edition of the Journey News Impact Makers Award.
Tonight, we gather here to honor and celebrate individuals.
We celebrate the goodness in our humanity
and create more inclusive, compassionate, and thriving societies.
The overall winner, Isaac Atoato.
In a land where dreams are often cradled in the arms of hope, there exists a league of unsung heroes. They are the silent architects of change, the torchbearers who illuminate paths where once there was only darkness. From the verdant stretches of our farms to the innovative labs of science, from the warm embrace of humanitarian aid to the simplest acts of kindness, these are the changemakers who sculpt the future of our nation, stitch by stitch. Unknown to them, their acts of selflessness have resonated across the land, stirring the hearts of many and sparking a movement of recognition and celebration. It's that time of the year again. Joy News proudly presents the Impact Makers Awards 2024. Join us in our quest to spot and honor those steadfast warriors who are remolding the destiny of our communities and our nation. This is your moment to nominate the unsung hero in your midst, the beacon of change whose story deserves to be told. To nominate your Impact Maker of the Year, send your entries to impact.makersawards@myjoyonline.com. Let's amplify their stories. The Joy News Impact Makers Awards, celebrating ordinary people making extraordinary impact.
Welcome back from the break. Let's do more on the developing stories in this country and look at what's happening with antiretroviral drugs here. We're understanding that there's likely to be a shortage in this country if measures are not taken. We'll be speaking to authorities who know more about it. But now we know that persons living with HIV in Ghana say they are at their wit ends, as they say health officials have begun rationing the antiretroviral drugs that they give them. Now, according to persons living with HIV, the quantity of antiretrovirals that they had to be giving have reduced, and therefore they suspect that things may not be going well with the antiretroviral drugs. We are getting details of all of this story here on the show. We'll be speaking to the man in charge of that, Dr. Chema Tiahene, as well as the president of persons living with HIV in Ghana, for us to have a beautiful discussion on that. I would love to start with, first of all, the president of persons living with HIV, who will be joining us. But we have Dr. Chema Tiahene joining us via Zoom. Now, Doc, I'm grateful to you for joining here. Good afternoon to you, Doc. Pleasure to have you. Kindly unmute so we can hear what you're telling us, Doc. Great.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, Doc. Okay. This is still the
good
pause
here. Good afternoon to you and your viewers, and thanks for having me.
Doc, so let's start with the situation with antiretrovirals. What's the status of our antiretroviral retroviral drugs in the country now?
Honestly, I was quite surprised this afternoon when on Joy FM News, it was mentioned that we've run out of antiretroviral medicines and that health facilities are rationing the medicines. That cannot be true because we have enough antiretroviral medicines in the country. At least we have medicines that will last at least for the next 6 months. And so that, I don't know where that information is coming from, but I know that we don't have any situation that should, you know, cause any anxieties among people living with HIV in the country.
So if a person with HIV is going for his or her antiretrovirals, what are the quantities that you give them?
Well, I like your question, but let me answer it this way. Every person is, especially the stable people on antiretroviral treatment, should receive 6 months amount of medicines that will last the person for 6 months. At least, if we cannot meet that amount, it should be not less than 3 months. So we are doing multi-month scripting now, and so we do not expect that patients who are stable will keep going to the health facilities every month for their medicines. But of course, those who have been newly initiated, they need to be monitored by the clinicians to ensure that there is no problem.
Okay. Doc, if you can still hear me, that's for stable persons. You are just talking about those who have... So we've lost Doc there, but we'll try and rectify the line so that we can have Doc back on this conversation. But we have Elsie. Madam Elsie is the president of persons living with HIV in Ghana. Grateful for you to join us here. What's the status of your antiretroviral drugs supply? How many have you received recently?
It's a big thing, so I didn't hear what the last speaker, most of what the last speaker said. But so far as I know, from last month, our members are given 1 month supply of antivirals when they go for their medication. When this happens, it is a sign that we are running out of stock.
Okay.
Especially if you are a stable client who has been receiving 3 months up to 6 months supply and you get there, you are given 1 month. It is telling us that something is not well, all is not well.
Okay.
Coupled with the fact that we attended the meeting with the Global Fund, the country team, last week, and we got to know that we had current stock level would go out, will run out in May this year. And that explains why we are receiving the 1 month. We are being given 1 month because the hospital has been, the facilities have managed the stock that they have. What if somebody tests positive and the person has to be put on treatment immediately? You can't afford to give people 6 months.
So what you're saying is that,
so the indication is that we are low, we have low stock level.
So what is that from February, your stable members or your members in who are stable client are being given a month supply instead of the 6 months that the Ghana AIDS Commission has just been telling us?
Between 3 to 6 months supply, yes. You are given 1 month if you are a new client, newly enrolled on treatment. Then you are given just so that you could return and they will know how it went with you, if everything was going on well, before you are given a bit more. But if you are a stable client and you've been receiving between 3 to 6 months supply, you are suddenly given 1 month, and around, all around, our members are saying they are given 1 month. Then it shows that there's a cause for...
How widespread is this phenomenon when your members who are stable are being given a month instead of between 3 and 6 months?
Across the country.
Okay. Now I'm asking this question because...
our persons in every region who are on the lookout. And our point our source is when our members go and they receive what they receive. I'm saying what is being given out to our members who go for their medication.
Okay. I was asking so because the Ghana AIDS Commission says that the boss said he was a bit alarmed when he heard the story today. It looks as though what he's trying to say is we are trying to paint a picture that is not. And that's why I'm trying to find out from you how widespread throughout Ghana is the situation that your members are being given 1 instead of 3 and 6 months of medical supplies.
Okay. Let me just go back a bit and give more information.
Exactly.
We were expecting replenishment of stock in the country midway in December last year. We were told that between and the middle of December and the end of December last year, we would receive this consignment that we are expecting. Right up to now, right up to last week, when we were at the CCM meeting with the Global Fund team, and we had a representative from Ministry of Health there, what we were expecting in December has not arrived yet. So if we were to have that replenishment in December and it is not in, and we know that what is in stock, there will be a stock out in May. Of course, we are receiving being given 1 month. If you add, look at the evidence. It stands to reason that we are running out of stock.
Who said the consignment that we're expecting in December has not arrived yet? Who said that? Which authority?
Global Fund, who went to Ministry of Health, who went everywhere they have to go to get the information because we were getting frustrated. They went and did the check. And the debriefing we received, is what I am telling you now.
Okay.
The debriefing we received meant that the information was that we ran out of stock in May as we were sitting there last week.
Okay.
And as I am sitting here, we haven't heard that the stock that we were expecting has arrived in the harbor because they don't even know where along the line that amount that the ARV that were purchased for $18 million you can't tell whether they're in the high seas, you can't tell whether they are the harbor and waiting to be cleared. You can't tell anything.
Okay.
So if we are going to, if the data show that our stock level will take us up to May, and we haven't had the replenishment we are expecting in December, what conclusion should we draw when we are going to the facilities and doing this one?
So I want a bit of clarification here. So this 18 million ARVs that were imported have not arrived in Ghana, and so they are not part of the medication that are stuck at the airport, which Global Fund was complaining of last week. Is that it?
They are not part of it.
Okay.
And one thing I want to continue clarifying is that the media, you keep on saying that 200 containers of ARVs are stuck at the port. It is not ARVs. Those are malaria. Malaria, the bed net for malaria, the medication for malaria, the injectables for malaria, the test kit for malaria, they make up majority of the 200 containers stuck at the harbor. The ARVs we are expecting are not at the harbor. They're not among those stuck at the harbor.
They are not even in the country at all.
The information from Global Fund is that they have not, they can't be given any information about where that consignment, for which the procurement was made, the letter to store was August 9th last year. They can't tell where it is along the route from where it was touching to the harbor. If it was stuck at the harbor, we know it already in Ghana. But we don't have any information. And then we are receiving for 1 month. And now we know there will be stock out in May, given the current stock level. So what conclusions do we make?
Whose responsibility is it to import the medications and to track, you know, the transportation of those medications or those ARVs into the country, such that the person is saying, we don't know where it is?
You see, if the consignment that was bought by Global Fund, they would know where it is.
Okay.
This was bought by the government of Ghana, by the Ministry of Health. And if they can't tell Global Fund with whom they have made that co-financing agreement, so who else will give the information? If they can't give that information to Global Fund, I can't say anything. All we know is that they can't track it. And all I know is that there will be stock out in May.
Wow. So if these ARVs were bought in August or on August 9, 2023, and we are in March, we are not able to tell where they are. Aside the Global Fund saying this, have you also contacted the Ministry of Health, and what have they been telling you?
Their representatives sat and told us things which didn't turn out to be what we're expecting. So you would understand if I say I'm taking what comes from them with a pinch of salt.
Okay, to help analysis, what did the Ministry of Health representative say?
What is the Ministry of Health doing?
What did the Ministry of Health representative say around the discussion that you had last week?
I don't know. The rep came to the meeting and just listened and went away. They didn't say anything. But the information we received, the person did not say that information that we're being given was wrong. He didn't refute the information we're receiving. So for me, then that shows that it's correct. But what I know is that the consignment they were supposed to have procured for us hasn't reached.
Okay.
Last week,
so once we've been able to establish all these bases, we were speaking to Dr. Etuahene a short while ago before you came, and he's saying that, I mean, for now, he knows that they are supplying to you those who are in stable condition 3 months. He is disputing the fact that, one, they are rationing the ARVs, and two, the fact that, I mean, by May, we may not have ARVs in the system. What do you say to those?
Well, then I'll say he's also government. So government wouldn't talk against government. But we are civil society whose lives are at stake. So we would say it as it is.
You mean Dr. Etuahene is not opening up and being factual with Ghanaians? Covering up the issues?
I am not saying that. You are saying he's not taking the medication. I'm the president of the network of persons living with HIV. We have people across the country who are receiving their 1 month work. We have a facility who hinted at the fact that they were running out last month but can't talk because the authorities would not take it kindly. So what again should I say? We are getting information, concrete information that our life saving ARVs are not going to, that will run out in May unless we are able to get what is supposed to have arrived in December last year.
Oh, interesting. I hope we could get Dr. Tia here again to put some of these questions to him, because if we imported $80 million worth of ARVs last year and we're not getting them now, then there are some more questions to ask. So Madam Aussie, if the Ghana AIDS Commission comes out to say that you're not telling the truth to Ghanaians, what will be your next line of action?
You put it on the same platform, then you have to give me where he stops. And I also get all my people ready who have received one. I mean, there's no need for that. You see, the issue is that Etuahene may have information. And I sympathize with him because he has to go according to the rules. And he gets his information from the data that is available at the Ministry of Health or National AIDS Control Program. And as usually happens, we realized, and at the review meeting, so had a review meeting that was held early this month in Hope, we realized that many of the facilities will record stocks that they receive, but they do not record stocks that are given out. Okay? So when you look at the stocks at the facility level, they have enough. That has been an issue. That was the main issue that was discussed. Many of the facilities don't have they're not linked onto the monitoring, or forgotten this thing. They are not linked to it. They enter the information manually. And when they are busy, because hotel managers have been recalled, and they have to see to clients, and they are the facility, and also record, this data, this information tends to pile up, and they are not able to enter input the information that they have. So Dr. Etuahene may be linked to the system, okay, that generates that information. So the information he is getting there is not the true picture. And this was established even after the beginning of this month by the health facility and all that who came to. That is an area of concern for them. So the stock levels that are registered are not what the real is really. So I can't say that Dr. Etuahene is telling a lie from where he's supposed to look at. which is not being fully inputted. The information, all the information is not being put on there because of barriers or, you know, at the facility level. And it's not, it's internal things, it's a system. The system is not working as it's supposed to work. So that is his source of information. But my source of information is from our own people who are taking the money.
All right.
I have a employee here who I have to tell my daughter to take to the facility for her medication. I have three other people who are staying in my house I have to take in. They went for their medication. They were given 1 month.
1 month.
And across the country, people are given 1 month.
Okay. All right. Madam LC, I am grateful to you for joining us here. We'll still keep an eye on this particular developing story, because to hear that we've imported some $80 million worth of ARVs and we can't find where they are, that's a matter of concern. We'll be reaching to the head of the AIDS Commission in Ghana, Dr. Chemetri Ahene, to really find some answers. We started with him, but the line drew down the line. We'd want to find out from him, where are these $80 million worth of ARVs? And now the people living with HIV are saying that when they go to the hospital, like he said earlier, they have to be given not less.
At Drury University, we've been empowering students to pursue their goals for over 130 years. From innovative degree programs and helpful tools to campus locations focused on creating community for international students, we can help you find your way forward. We even offer international students 25% off tuition on select degree programs. Visit Strayer.edu to learn more. Eligibility rules, restrictions, and exclusions apply. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Done 3 months of medication for stable persons. Why are they being given 1 month? And what is he picking, you know, from the ground as well? Now, Madam Elsie has made us aware that if he is saying so and he's contradicting what they are saying, it could possibly be to barriers in information delivery at the facility level. We want to hear much more on this particular developing story. This is quite, you know, one that we all must follow. Dr. Chemetri Ahene has joined us now, this time around via phone. Doc, I'm grateful to you for joining us. Now, we understand that the persons living with HIV are now being given 1 month instead of three months. Now, what are your checks on the ground telling you, and where are you getting this information from, sir?
Yeah, thank you. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, clearly.
Okay. When the earlier interview gave the indication that medicines are being rationed, I contacted her for further information to enable me access the information I have. Up to now, I haven't received it. But I have also heard her explanation. Yes, it may be true that some facilities are giving medicines less than the 6 months or 3 months allocation. But that is not to say that we have run out of medicine. Because when some facilities don't have medicines, they have to go for their allocation from the medical store. And if they haven't been able to do that, often they would ration the medicine. And so I think LC knows, understands these issues very well. And so when there is rationing, it doesn't necessarily mean there is shortage.
So I needed to clarify that. And when these matters come to the attention of the National AIDS Control Program or Ghana Health Service, they have arrangement of making sure that the pipeline is filled up so that they can get the facilities can supply the required amount of medicines to the client.
Well, Doc, assuming that is the case, that maybe they have to go for more supplies, how long should this persist? Because according to Madam Elsie, this situation is from last month, which is February. We are in March. How long should it take facilities to restock?
Well, I am not aware of that. But our role is to make sure that the HIV response is well coordinated. And so if there is conflicting information going around, we have a duty to establish the fact and ensure that the correct thing is done. So my team will be working on this for us to actually understand what is happening on the ground and respond accordingly. But I need to clarify that no antiretroviral medicines are missing in this country. What actually happened was that the Global Fund and the Ministry of Health agreed that the supply that Global Fund gave us would, you know, run out by May this year. And so government supplies should fill the gap so that we will not run out of stock. And government, therefore, took the necessary action, and here I mean Ministry of Health, to procure the medicine. Now, this medicine in October, and it was expected that the first delivery should happen in December or something like that. Now, the deliveries have not happened since that time. But that is not to say that the medicines are nowhere to be found or they are missing or cannot be accounted for. The simple thing is that the deliveries have not been done. And we expect that the deliveries will be done in the near future. And I know that the ministry is prioritizing that transaction and making sure that the deliveries are done before me.
Doc, if you say the delivery has not happened, fair enough. But why hasn't it happened? Because you said the delivery was supposed to have been done in December. We've crossed January, we've crossed February, we're in March. It hasn't happened. Any reason why it hasn't been effected?
Well, we now understand why it has not been done. Contracts have been signed, that's my understanding, by the ministry and the suppliers. But the suppliers have not delivered, you know, on their side of the contractual arrangement. And so it is a matter of the ministry ensuring that the suppliers actually live up to their side the agreement. Now, it is important to point out that the issue of antiretroviral are very concerning for us because the life of the people living with HIV is dependent on the availability and use of these medicines. Their sustenance is solely dependent on these medicines. And so we will not do anything to do anything that would put persons living with HIV at risk by denying them access to antiretroviral medicine. And so when these matters come up in the media, when the facts are not clear, it worries us quite a lot because we create anxiety among the people living with HIV. And so that is the caution I always you know, want our stakeholders, especially NAPLA, to be aware of.
Okay.
I know they are doing the best they can, and they are acting upon the information that they may have. But the way we present the information is also very important. And it is incumbent on me and my team to ensure that the Ministry of Health and other stakeholders, get the medicine into the country. Mm. And we are working on it. Since Friday, every day, I am in touch with the Ministry of Health trying to check the status.
Okay.
So there is no, I believe that we will definitely have the medicine. But even when the medicines, if the medicines do not arrive by May, we still will have medicines that every person living with HIV would have access to.
Where will these medicines be coming from? Because Global Fund, according to you, say theirs will run out by May this year. And if ours does not come in, where are we going to get the ARVs for them?
No, we have at least 6 months stock. And so there will be medicines available for the client.
But you say you have 6 months stock, but here's the case, the persons living with HIV are saying that when they go to the facilities, they are being given a month instead of at least 3 months that you even told us earlier. Now, if persons with HIV must receive between 3 to 6 months of medication, how is it possible that people are receiving one when you are telling us now that you have at least 6 months of supply there?
I have already explained to you that the facilities that do not have enough have to request, and they have a way of requesting and receiving their stock. And so that is what they need to do in order to fill the supply gap in those facilities.
Okay.
So once they request, they will have the quantities that they require.
Okay. So it means that someone is not putting in a request, because from last month, by now they should have rectified that, but that has not been rectified. So is it the case that some facilities are not really doing the work that they need to be doing?
Yes, I won't put it that way, but I just want to say that facilities that do not have enough stock must make their... I won't put it that way, but I just want to say that facilities that do not have enough stock must make their request and ensure that they receive, replenishment as quickly as possible.
Okay. All right. But finally, before I let you go, who are the suppliers of these ARVs, and where are they?
Come again, please.
Who are the suppliers of these ARVs? The one is the Director General for the Ghana AIDS Commission. This is still the pause here on the Journeys channel. Now, moving on to other stories now. This is still the pause. I tell you that we will be, taking you to Parliament, because we know that the Minister for Information for Communication, Ursula Osuekofo, will be briefing Parliament on what the country is doing to ensure that we bring the internet connectivity back to its normal level. We're keeping an eye on that particular one. But before we get there, let's bring you other stories that, are happening. Now, President Akufo-Addo has urged the African Union to work closely with the economic community of West African states, ECOWAS, to devise strategies to dissuade countries considering withdrawal from the unified body. Now, the call comes in response to Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger's recent decisions to exit the regional bloc. Listen.
There's plenty of early warning information. Every country's intelligence services and these agencies report on the threat and risk profiles of our countries, regions, and continent. We have early warning architectures at the regional and continental levels. These are complemented by the Committee of Intelligence Security Services of Africa, CISA, So whilst we still failing to address the situation of unconstitutional changes of governments on our continent, is there a disconnect in the flow of information between these structures and decision making? Or are we allowing the politics of decision making and the pursuit of national interests to stand in the way of action? Excellencies, in this regard, what can we do differently? I think that we need our secretariats, elected officials, international civil servants, think tanks, and civil society actors to provide policymakers with innovative and practical recommendations. Given the complexities associated with addressing the challenges we're confronted with, one cannot be prescriptive. However, the one thing that is critical and for which we need our multilateral institutions to make significant investments is relationship building. There must be a critical group of individuals within and outside the multilateral frameworks that our AU officials should be able to call upon to engage and co-generate response options when necessary to de-escalate crisis. Permit me to commend the AU Commission for the comprehensive report on peace and security it presented to the Assembly of the Union in February. But I want to challenge you to go further than the Diplomatic League House recommendations to provide the Assembly with critical points on what they must do. There is a reason why the ensuing discussions on the report are held in camera. Our secretariats cannot tell us what they think we want to hear. That approach has not changed anything to date. We need to explore new territories. They must discharge their mandates to tell us what we need to know by speaking the truth to power. It is important to note that multilateral institutions are only as strong as our member states make them. When sovereignty becomes a shield rather than an enabling framework for protecting citizens and the Constitution, it is problematic. Experience has taught us, even though external support is essential for accountability, it is ultimately national institutions, structures and processes that can effectively elicit compliance for our collective norms and frameworks of governance, democracy, and constitutional rule. The AU and our regional bodies must invest in developing our national institutions and empowering citizens with the requisite knowledge to make compliance and accountability from their governments.
Now, Fantasy Entertainment, owners of the demolished Fantasy Dome at the trade fair in La, say they are headed to court over what they describe as contempt of the court on the part of the Ghana Trade Fair Company. The over 20,000 capacity Fantasy Dome was demolished on Saturday. However, the chief executive officer of the prominent event center, Leslie Quaino, says the trade fair authorities disregarded a court injunction and used heavily built men who stormed the facility with sophisticated weapons to demolish the structure. Joining me in studio now is Leslie Quaino, CEO of the Fantasy Dome. Good afternoon to you and thanks for joining.
Yes, good afternoon. And thank you for having me.
I am amazed that you are still smiling, really. Because when I saw how the place was, by now, I don't know why. But what's your secret, first of all, before going into the
interview? I believe in God. I think everything happens for a reason. And if you have faith in God, nothing can shake your belief or stress you. So you always have to look to God, because all bad things happen for a reason. That means he has better things ahead of you. So you cannot fall down when you have God in your corner. You always have to look up and keep moving on.
How much is the dome worth?
I invested over $5 million. And that's because the dome, you know, just the ground there alone, you know, trade fair is all clay. Clay is very unstable. So, you know, a building can collapse. And, you know, when you're trying to have a big concert of 15,000, 20,000 people jumping, You know, I don't want to have on my conscience that, you know, they all collapsed and died. So what I did is I extracted the clay. I had to go down about 2.5 meters, actually 2.7 meters, extract all that of 8,000 square meters of the dome, put light, put concrete, and then screed it. And that was very costly, close to $2 million 5 years ago. Obviously, the structure itself is a couple of million dollars. But I also invested in production. So the Fantasy Dome was the first event venue that went there, and they had light, sound, LED screen, stage. It was at chairs, tables. We had over 74 bathrooms. We had green rooms. We had dressing rooms. We had conference rooms. We even had offices. So it was the first turnkey, you know, event center in Ghana, which is what you expect when you go to the U.S. or the U.K. Mm-hmm. You know, no one in the U.S. or the U.K. goes to an event center and bring chairs, and then they bring a stage, mm-hmm. and then they bring lights. and for us to step up to it, this is the first center that did it. Yes.
What was the agreement between you and the trade fair company before you set up?
We had a lease. It was supposed to be a 10-year lease, but we agreed to do a 5-year renewable lease. Obviously, in the lease, they put, which is in every government contract, a redevelopment clause, which I understood. Unfortunately, my structure is, although it's semi-permanent, based on the investment done, it made it slightly more difficult to leave. So about maybe 3 years in the lease. I remember we had COVID for 2 years. So by year three of the lease, I'd only functioned for 6 months because COVID took a significant amount of pause. Yeah. And then as we resume after COVID, the trade fair decided to partake in this redevelopment drive.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, it's very difficult to find land in Accra. The dome itself sits at about 2 acres. I need another 2 acres for parking, for ancillary service, for bathrooms. So it's very difficult, you know, to do this in Accra. You have to be in Accra. You cannot be too far away because people will not come. So it took some time. I was able to locate some land at the University of Ghana, University of Legon. And we're in the final stages of negotiating to actually complete this transaction. So unfortunately, it was a 5-year engagement, which ended on December 31st, 2023. About a couple of weeks before the lease ended, I sent a letter to the Trade Fair Authority, the CEO, Agnes Edu, requesting a 60-day extension to allow me to further negotiate at that time with the University of Ghana authorities to finalize the deal so that I'll be able to finally move, because they met the criteria of the land requirements. And she wrote me a letter back denying my request. She said, you know, we've told you to leave, so we will not extend it, and you would have no access to your facility after January 1st.
Mm.
So I did what any businessman would do. I went to court, and I seeked that the court give me access to the place to remove my stuff, and also give me enough time to remove it. You know, because I need to bring in, you know, some Chinese engineers and other stuff that would set it up. The dome is a huge structure. I mean, it's not a regular tent that you just throw up and throw down. It's 150 meters by 50 meter structure.
Okay.
Very well built with conditioning and everything that goes with it.
Mm.
So
this is the writ of summons,
yes,
for the to place the injunction.
That's
on
correct.
The action by the trade fair.
That's correct.
Okay.
And if you notice, that was issued all the way back in January.
It's January 12th.
Yes,
2024 this year.
Yes, yes. Mm. The court had a lot of problem trying to serve them, because every time they'll go to the offices of the trade fair, they will deny to receive it. They will claim that they are not trade fair employees and so on and so forth. So we had to go back into court in February to file substituted service, which is the only way you can make sure someone gets served.
Mm.
That was granted about 2 weeks ago, and a bailiff went and served them. They had to paste the writ on their premises, which they did. They have evidence of that. I mean, this is not me. This is the court. I mean, they have evidence of servicing, do substituted service, and placing it on the court bulletin boards as directed by the judge. We followed all the rules. So as far as we're concerned, they have been served, and they're fully aware of this, obviously, until this unfortunate incident happened.
So in December, you asked for 60 days.
That's correct.
So that 60 days probably would have ended around March 2, March 3rd.
Absolutely. That 60 days would have ended already. That's correct.
Why were you still unable to move?
Because in her letter, she told me I don't have access to the premises after January 1st.
Okay.
So I have to go to court to get the right authority to first give me that right time and also access to remove my stuff. Mm. But according to a letter, I would not have, and I don't want to trespass. So I decided to follow the law. So had they responded in good time, we may have, you know, gone.
Also, you were not going there at all because of what was going on?
No, my security was there, but I wasn't. She made it clear in her letter that I do not have access.
Okay. Okay.
So there was no need for me to go and remove anything. I just needed the court to give me access to do that and also give me time to relocate my facility.
And they didn't give you any final warning before the demolition was done on Saturday?
No, they did not. What happened about a week ago, some national security operatives went to the facility and told my security that if they are not, they don't move it, they're going to demolish it. And they left a number. I called Captain Frimpong, who was their lead in that conversation. And I made him aware that I don't know why they threatened anything against the facility. There's an injunction. And he told me to send it to him on WhatsApp. So I sent it to him on his phone. And he said when he gets into the office, he'll review it and he'll get back to me. Okay. Unfortunately, I didn't hear back until I met him at the site on Saturday. Mm. And he told me that he had lost his phone that day. So he was not able to look at the injunction, which he also made it clear that it's not between me and National Security. It's between me and the National Trade Fair or the Ghana Trade Fair Company. So unfortunately, he didn't want to wade into our legal matters or battle. Mm.
That's what he told you?
Yes, that's what he
told. And then, even though you had sent him this, they still went ahead.
That's correct.
To do what they did. Well, for purposes of education, this is a writ of summons. And let me just read the statement of claim. It says, an order of perpetual injunction restraining the defendant, their assigns, privies, agents, workmen, and any person claiming an interest through the defendant from demolishing the plaintiff's dome or restricting it and its workmen, agent, and assigns from accessing to the specialized Maggie tent. Or dome. An order directed at the defendant to grant access to the plaintiff to continue with the dismantling and removal of the specialized marquee tent or dome. Now, so someone will say, because you said that they haven't replied to this, right?
Yes.
So let me just ask, for purpose of educating people, why would this, even though they didn't reply, I don't see any judgment given this or granting this order. Why are you still saying that there was an injunction for them to go ahead with what they did?
Well, because once you receive this writ, you're supposed to go to court within a certain period of time.
Okay.
Right? But this is a writ that's been issued. So when you go to court, then the judge will say, okay, let him access and give him 60 days, 90, whatever. You could have said give him a week.
Yeah.
Right? But you have to obey it. You have to respond to it. Go to court with my lawyers, their lawyers, and kind of an arrangement made with a finite time and for me to have access to remove my stuff. Obviously, that did not happen. But unfortunately, that's what an injunction is. It's to stop any demolition or any adverse effect to a plaintiff against what they are afraid of, you know, in the court of law. Mm. And it's a writ that does not only apply to certain people. It applies to every citizen of Ghana and every company. It doesn't only not apply to certain people of certain parties or certain color or certain creed. It's a law of Ghana. You know, you have to obey if it's set upon you.
And I think if I remember correctly, by a certain number of days, if the defendant does not reply or you don't go to court, then the injunction becomes forceful.
So on the substituted service, the next court date that the judge specified is April 18th.
Okay.
Because he had given us time to do all that stuff. So the next court date, which we were going to go, was April 18th, which I guess at that time, if they didn't show up again, he was going to issue
judgment
on that.
Mm. Interesting. So you took nothing from the place?
No, I didn't take anything.
Not even your computer?
I mean, no, everything was there. Every device that was there was in place, yes.
That's a huge distraction there.
Absolutely. 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 A massive blow, not just to me personally, but to the entertainment industry. I mean, for years, for 25 years, I've done all the big concerts at the stadium, Movado, Alkaline. I mean, you can name it. I mean, I've Popcorn, you know, I've done every major artist.
Mm.
And, you know, every time I do them, the first thing someone says, we need venues, we need better venues, you know. And nothing against the stadium, but, you know, it has a lot of challenges. I mean, it wasn't purposely built for concerts,
yeah.
Right? You know, even just the glass around it, you know, how do you get sound to the crowd, right, that sits behind it? So, I mean, I went to do this investment because this is my line of business. I am in the entertainment field, and I took it upon myself. You know, a lot of people wait for government to do things, and the government always says private sector investment, but how can we keep doing this if there's going to be the response? I mean, do you have to destroy it? I mean, could you not help me relocate faster? I mean, I was looking for land. I just needed someone to have my peace of mind, right? Why didn't anyone step up to help me?
You didn't go to the Ministry of Tourism?
I did. I had meetings with Mark. He sent me to, I think, the Ghana Museum sites, but they were not big enough. My dome needs a lot of land. No one in Accra had that much land. But after that, the conversation stopped. I mean, I need help. I didn't get it. I mean, not against anyone, but, you know, if my business is as important to the industry as it should have been, I should have gotten more help.
Okay. And I understand you're going to court on this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a clear contempt.
Mm. So you're going to court on that?
Oh, absolutely. Mm. I mean, it's. I read somewhere that they evicted me, and that is not an eviction. Complete total destruction. That's even worse than a demolition because, you know, there was no need to go to that level of destruction. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, what were you trying to do? I mean, completely destroy the industry, completely destroy the business? I mean, especially when you're doing it illegally, too. I mean,
you suspect a foul play?
I frustration, but this is not how we are a country of laws. You know, just because you are frustrated because you want to kick a tenant out. And we've all been through, I've been a landlord several times, and I get it. I mean, tenants also have issues. And sometimes you want to get them out. But you can't just get a bulldozer and knock, even a kiosk on your land, you can't just get a bulldozer and knock it over. Any kind of demolition or eviction you do, you need a court order. Mm. That's what laws are for. If not, we're all on bulldozers, because all we'll go around is just knocking people's stuff down.
Mm.
That's not how law works.
I sympathize with you, and I pray that you get what you desire and what you deserve, really. Mr. Kwenu, I wish you all the best in this fight.
Thank you very much.
All right, then. But I hope it doesn't change you and your interest to invest in Ghana.
It doesn't. I mean, I've been doing this for too long.
Okay.
All I want on this one is for the courts to stand up, for Ghana police to stand up, because people like myself only keep doing it if we do know that the laws actually work. If we do know that the national security will not be used to demolish our locations,
okay,
you know, forcefully. I mean, I think we have to stop those things, and I need the authorities to step up and make sure that people are held accountable for their actions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now, still here on the pulse, the ambassador of Netherlands to Ghana, Jeroen Verhoel, has called on the government to reduce the interest rate for businesses. According to him, the move is important to help create an enabling environment for small and medium-scale businesses to grow. He made the call at the European Union SMV Green Accountability Pact in Accra. There's more in the following report.
Recent data from the Ghana Statistical Service indicate that Ghana's employment rate is 14.5% of the country's labor force. The situation has challenged individuals and non-governmental organizations to help set up businesses. To address the challenge, speaking at a European Union SNV Green Ghana Accountability Project in Accra, Managing Director of SNV Green Ghana, Megan Ritchie, said their SME project has created some 1,500 job opportunities for the youth, including women.
I think the project's been successful. If you look at sheer numbers, yeah, 6,000 plus.
6 SMEs created. They're all employing people of their own. Yeah, so I think at the moment we can say it was successful. We need to see in 3, 4, 5 years' time whether that success is sustained, and I think that's the important part. Yeah.
The ambassador of the Kingdom of Netherlands to Ghana, His Excellency Jeroen Verheul, charged government to reduce interest rate to enable businesses to thrive.
One of the elements in the strategy is macroeconomic stability, because macroeconomic stability ensures that there is a low inflation and that there is low interest rates. So that is what we are focusing on, supporting the IMF and the government program to create macroeconomic stability, and that also set in place different programs that help the government and businesses, especially private businesses, to create jobs for Ghanaians.
Speaking on behalf of Government Director of Local Governance and Decentralization at the Ministry of Local Government, Decentralization and Rural Development, Samuel Passan assured SMEs of government commitment to sustain their growth.
We are committed to ensuring that this project is sustainable. Sustainable means that integrating these processes that you have done under the project into our mainstream processes, our planning processes and budgeting processes, to ensure that the gains are sustained and they are also going to affect more people in our day-to-day operations of the local authorities.
Some beneficiaries of SNV Green Entrepreneurial Project shared their experience with Joy News.
So the Green Project has done a lot to me. Especially as a mother, I was just moving from one business to another. But when this project came, I started with the OEA program, where we were taking through training, practical training on soap making. And that's where I started. I finished and then rolled on to the acceleration or the incubation program. And that was another niche for me. It helped me. Now I have a business of my own.
When I actually got to the Green Project, I was at the crossroad of my business. I was actually contemplating whether running the business as a side business or continue to run it as a full-time business. Then I got to the Green program, the incubation. They taught us a lot, how to run your business, how to price your business, how to do proper packaging, and everything we needed to know about businesses. And also, there was the Green Challenge Fund, Innovation Challenge Fund, which we applied, and then some of us got the awards. That has been very remarkable for me, specifically for my business, because through that, the Green Project has helped me to set up a factory. We are almost through, and then purchase some equipment that has helped us to upscale our business.
Cordial or Paris report, read to you.
All right, so welcome back. You're still here on The Pulse. Let's talk about the National Service personnel, because the Forum for Accountability have had some issues. They say they are exploring the option of taking the NSS to court over, some issue that they allege the National Service Secretariat may have been involved in the unauthorized sale of National Service personal data to third-party loan companies. And again, they are also challenging the National Service Secretariat that it put out an inaccurate information that they had paid National Service personnel 2 months allowances when, in actual fact, they had not done that. But I have with me in the studio from the Forum for Accountability, Klenam Tamaklo and Samuel Danko Abwating. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
That's you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you for the invitation.
Glad that you honored it. You say the National Service Secretariat is lying.
Yes. So I wouldn't say they are lying.
Okay.
I would say that it seemed like a systematic effort to pay half of us as a diversion tactic. But okay. So far,
we are seeing personnel in different parts of the nation who have not even received their evaluation forms. We need your evaluation forms to proceed with payments.
Mm.
And they've not even opened up the portals for them to start this process. So how have they been paid?
Mm.
So that's the question I'd like to pose to the secretariat, because how can you say you've paid us when people's evaluation forms haven't come out? That's my question to the secretariat.
Mm.
I want them to hold them accountable and say, we want transparency. That's the least that you owe us.
Okay.
We want you to be transparent.
But when it comes to evaluation form for the time you started in August or September?
November.
So you've done that of November, you've done that of December, January, February.
Now, man.
So what if they used that of the November and December to pay? That everybody had done the evaluation form. Isn't that the case?
That's not the case.
Really?
That's not the case.
People have not done evaluation
form. As of March, people haven't, the evaluation forms haven't come out. In my institution, people are telling me that the evaluation forms are not in. They don't understand what's going on. We did an interview with TV3 last week. The chief director, Mr. Ambrose, said for a fact that payments will come on Wednesday. But here's the case that they've not been paid. Several people all over the nation have not been paid. And now to talk about the data breach, which is a serious issue.
Let's do the evaluation first. So do we know the number of service personnel who have been able to fill the evaluation forms? Do you know?
No, we don't have that data available.
Okay.
However, we know the regions that have not received fully been paid. Western region, for instance, there is no one who has been paid in the Western region.
Okay.
Parts of the Ashanti region, Greater Accra region, parts of the Greater Accra region, people haven't been paid. In fact,
Eastern region too.
In Eastern region, the evaluation forms have even come out.
Okay.
That's the problem we are facing right now. And we ask the National Service Secretariat to do us right. All we're asking is our allowance, which they owe us monthly. It's not a quarterly affair. It's a monthly affair. That's prescribed in the Act 462, which is the National Service Act. It states that all NSP are supposed to be paid monthly, not quarterly, not when the secretariat feels like they want to pay us, not at their discretion. No. Is when they have to pay us, which is monthly. Thank you.
Oh, okay. So, but they have not done that. I know that in the Western region, because I have a family member who's also a service person. I know
that's not being paid.
Exactly. But.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Pulling up to Mickey D's just for drinks? Oh yeah, that's me. Nothing extra, just perfection and a straw. Coming in hot for the coldest cups on the block. Because there are drinks. Then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Mix things up with any size lemonade or sweet tea for $1.49. Perfect with our classic fries. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Strayer University, we see you striving to work harder and go further. That's why we provide you with the tools you need to get there, like offering a brand new laptop when you enroll in a bachelor's program. So you can do your coursework anytime, anywhere, and always keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Eligibility rules, restrictions, and exclusions apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Every fan knows the right player in the right position can be a game changer. Put LifeLock between your identity and identity thieves to monitor and alert you to threats you could miss. Plus, with a U.S.-based restoration specialist on your team, you won't have to face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or other losses from identity theft alone. All backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package. Change the game on identity theft. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
So if your point is that some of them have been paid, do you know exactly the number that have been paid?
If the National Service Secretary had been transparent with us, we'd be able to tell you these figures. But they are going around saying they've paid all personnel, which is as you said yourself, you have a family member who's not been paid. But the secretariat comes out and tells us that we've been paid.
Mm.
which is a gross exaggeration, I should add.
Of the issue.
Yeah.
Have you contacted them? What reason have they been giving you? Why some people have not been paid?
Not been able to make direct contacts with them. We've been able to talk to people on the district level. Even on the district level, we've been blocked. We've not been given an audience to have a true conversations. We've been out here for a while now. Our movement has been making waves. The first week that we opened this movement, we got more than 3,000 members to join. Because this is an issue that's at the heart of the youth. Because the youth are suffering. This economy is not easy for us to go to work consistently. And we work hard. Is it so difficult to just pay us what we are owed?
You work for, this is your fifth month, right? This is fifth month, and they have not been paying you.
Due to our position as conveyors, we receive a lot of calls every day, calls and text messages from people who rely solely on the NSS scheme to get their daily bread. The National Service, the reason why we are, the reason why we are suing them is because they not only have not paid us, they also have not fulfilled some of the requirements in their act, which is, for instance, transport allowance.
Okay.
You know that the National Service Secretariat is required to pay everybody who comes from their hometown to any state institution, which is ministries.
Another region.
Yeah, to another region. It's, they are entitled to pay them transport allowance.
Okay.
But they are not doing that. They don't even pay your 715 a month. Talk less of transport allowance. That's what's going on. And
that's
very
in the act.
Okay.
That's in the act. And it's a true breach of the act that they are supposed to embody.
Okay. All right then. So that's why you are suing them. When are you taking this action?
We are giving them up to the end of the month to pay their arrears. If they don't, we are planning a strike and we also follow up with the lawsuits.
Okay. Interesting. You also allege that they've been involved in unauthorized sale of National Service personal data form. And data to a third party.
So with that, this matter in particular is still under investigations. But so far, what we can tell you now is the fact that they've given out personal data to a loan company which is now coming to NSP, sending you a message. Once you do your evaluation, they'll send you a message with outrageous interest. The loans that they give you would have outrageous interest. Take maybe 2,000. They'll tell you this: you've been qualified for a loan as a national service personnel, and they congratulate you. The irony of it, just to rip you off. They give you 2,000 CDs. They're supposed to pay times two of the amount.
This prompts us
to think that as the National Service Secretariat have decided to create a situation where they can rip off the benefits by exploiting us by asking.
But that's too much of an exaggeration. Because how do you allege that they want to rip you off of your allowances when you've not tied the whole thing to them, that they are the companies giving you the loans?
So, with that in particular, that's why I say it's still under investigation. Okay. But I can tell you here that we've made connections between the National Secretariat and this company you are talking about.
Okay.
You can go out and ask any national service person whether they've gotten this message. This is a fact. You can go and do your own private investigation and you see the ties there. Just need to type in the company into Google. You'll see the ties there.
Okay.
It's so glaring for the public to see. It's a deliberate attempt to exploit from a situation that they created.
Interesting. Okay. Guys, so you are giving the NSS up to the end of the month to rectify, else you go to court on that as well. You're going to court on the third party thing as well.
We're going to go with the third party and the breach of the National Service Act.
Interesting. Guys, thank you so much for coming, and I wish you all the best, yeah?
Thank you very much.
So, we have Clenam Tamaklo, the one in suit, and then Samuel Dankwa Boateng.
Please, I would like to give a shout-out to our leader, the lead conveyor, Rufus Asante, too. He's been able to help us to get to this point. The one who started this movement, and that's why we're here today, fighting for national service personnel all over the nation.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you very much for your time.
It's still the pulse on the Joy News channel. So thank you for being a part of us today. It's been a very wonderful edition with you. We pray that we meet again, God willing, tomorrow. Until then, please be good. But I'll leave you in the hands of the LTS team. Have a great day.